Missionary Enterprise, Missionary Aid International with the Bible School International. Today is Friday. I didn't have my camcorder on. And Friday, August 6, 2021, we are with our brothers and sisters once again in Pakistan, South Asia. And this is actually our second attempt to do a video for them, a teaching video for them. And this one is called, the last one was on discipleship. And it turned out really good. The teaching was really good. And we still haven't made the video. But anyhow, today this is called Defenders of the Faith. Defenders of the Gospel. All right? So I'm recording it here with my little digital recorder. This is my new one. And it's a nice one. And paid a lot more money for it. But you get what you pay for. And I'm not usually a cheapie. But anyhow. So we're recording here. And defenders of the faith, defenders of the gospel. So what does the word have to say about defending the faith? You know, people say, I don't have to defend God. You know, well, God doesn't need a defense. But in the midst, in this whole world of all these people, over 7 billion people, we are surrounded with all kinds of faiths. And we're surrounded with all kinds of so-called gospels, good news, right? But there is, according to God, the creator of the universe, there is only one faith. There's only one faith, and there is only one gospel. A gospel that saves. Saves from what? Saves from hell, but also saves from sickness, disease, poverty, all these different things like that. There's only one gospel and there's only one faith. And they work together because you have access to God, to the gospel, to God's gospel with the faith of God. That's how you have access to the faith of God, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, is by faith. You're saved by faith, right? Through grace, right? So let's see here. Let's go to Philippians 1:16. Philippians 1:16 says here, the latter proclaim Christ out of love, because they recognize and know that I am providentially put here for the defense of the good news, the gospel. See, Paul was out to defend the gospel so that the gospel could spread out. All right, because they were just starting out back then. Don't forget that. They weren't like what we have today. We've got the gospel all over the world. And there's not much power to it right now, but there is, the gospel is out there, and we have all kinds of churches, local churches, Bible schools, we got Christian media all over the world compared to what they had back then. They were just starting out, basically. So he was out to defend the defense of the gospel, all right? And that has not changed, meaning it should not change. Going back to the Great Commission, all of this is tied in with the Great Commission. And so let's look at this word defense. Okay, I'm going to do a short word study here on the Greek. The word defense is the original word. It's a transliter. It's Strong's number 627. It's actually the word apologia. Apologia. It means a speech in defense. A speech in defense. A verbal defense, particularly in a law of court. Apologia, from Strong's number 575, APO, and from 3056, logos. See? Logos. We get the word word, right? The logos. The word, but also words, right? Intelligent reasoning, a well-reasoned reply, a thought-out response to inadequately address the issues that is raised. So going back to what Paul was doing, the defense of the gospel. And that's what we need to be doing also, all right, as the body of Christ. Apologia, reasoned defense, is the term for making a legal defense in an ancient court. Today, apologia, biblical apologetics, is used for supplying evidences for the Christian faith. All right, so there we've got the word faith in context with the word gospel. All right, that's why I put them together. The defense of the gospel, the defense of the faith. All right, we're going to look at that a little bit today. So, also it has number C here. Okay, let's keep going here. Number C, we have an apology. In classical times, had nothing to do with saying, I'm sorry. See, this apology, apologetics has nothing to do with saying I'm wrong, but rather was a reasoned argument, a defense that presented evidence, supplied compelling proof. All right, so let's keep going here. So let's look at the next verse here. Got the next verse here. This is 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledging him as Lord. Always be ready. Here we are. Always be ready to give a logical defense. Always ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully. Okay, I'm working on that part. But here we got the word logical defense, and it's the same word that we found in Philippians 1:16. Same word. Strong's number 627. So I'm not going to go through that whole thing again. We're going to put it up on the video when we do the final production. But it's the same word. Strong's number 627. All right? Same word as above. All right? So let's move on here. This is going to be a very short teaching today. Let's move on here to Jude 3, verse 3. Not chapter 3. There's no chapter 3. Jude is just one chapter. So verse 3. It says here, beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation, but I found it necessary and was impelled to write you and urgently appeal to and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith. So now we're from defense of the gospel to earnestly contending for the faith. All right? Which was once for all, handed down to the saints, to the believers back then. All right? The faith, which is that sum of Christian belief, which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God. That's the Amplified added that, but it's right. But this all encompasses the Great Commission. It's all part of the Great Commission. All right. So this word, earnestly contend, not for the faith, but earnestly contend for, the original word, the Strong's number is 1864. And are we still live here? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So the transliteration is epagonizome. Definition, to contend with or for. Usage, I contend earnestly. It carries the word earnestly. Some translations don't have the word earnestly or passionately or zealously. All right, contending for the faith. Like I said, we're surrounded by all kinds of faiths out there. There's all kinds of faiths out there. All right, and I don't want to get into that right now. It's not the place to do it, really. It could be, but maybe on a longer video. But Paul was contending for the faith because he was surrounded with other faiths. But there's only one faith, like I said at the beginning of the video, there's only one faith that actually saves a person. It's the saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who went to the cross on our behalf. All right? So this word, this Greek word, is from Strong's number 1909, epi, and also number 73, which is the word agon, where we get the word agonizing, agony. All right? A contest, competition, to contend, literally a struggle, there you go, word agonize, struggle upon appropriately with skill and commitment in opposing whatever is not of faith, God's persuasion, what God believes. And that's what I teach a lot on when the Word of God teaches on faith, according to the Bible, the Word of God, it has to do with what God believes. What God believes. And we need to line up with what God believes, because it's only what God believes that works. Okay, and especially in the long run. All right? So if you believe something that God doesn't believe, you keep God out of the picture. You keep God out of your circumstances. And that's not good. All right? So what we need to do is when you get into the contending for the faith, Paul is saying we are contending for what God believes. All right? And this is all part of the Great Commission. This is part of discipleship. All right? This is all part of causing people by the Spirit. All right? By the Spirit. This is all part of convincing people of what the Word has to say, not only about heaven and hell, but that's the big one. That's the final one. But concerning what the Bible has to say about God's goodness, about healing, about provision, about freedom from bondage, all kinds of freedom from sin. The Word is full of those things, especially in the New Testament. Post-cross, right? Very important. We got to get into this. This is what it is to contend for the faith. All right? Especially, well, not just in Pakistan, but especially in Pakistan where they're surrounded. They're surrounded by people. They're surrounded by religions that don't believe in what the Bible teaches. All right? So this is very important. We got to get this. All right? So let's look at this last one here. I don't mean to make this too short. Now I'm getting more people watching now. So I'm just going to wave. I'm just waving. I'm just letting you know that I'm seeing you. Thank you very much. And let's get into this last verse here. I think it's my last verse. Let me see here what we got here. Okay, this is a big one. This is a big one, and this is out of the Amplified. All right? So let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4. Chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. It says here, Paul said, let's start with verse 2. Paul says, herald and preach the word or the gospel or the faith, right? Because without the word, we don't know what the faith is. We don't know what the gospel is, right? So herald and preach the word, preach the faith of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your sense of urgency. There we got the word. It carries the idea of earnestly, right? Sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, right? Whether it is convenient or inconvenient, that's a big one. Whether it is welcomed or unwelcome, all right? You as a preacher of the word, of the gospel, of the faith, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. Now this is, you got to get into the Greek for this. The Amplified mentioned this. Most translations don't have it, but the Greek catches it. This is, they're catching the Greek, okay? I don't have time for that today. Convince them, rebuking them and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible. Inexhaustible in patience, working on that one, and teaching. I'm a good teacher. All right. Last verse here. Verse 3. For the time is coming. This is 2,000 years ago. For the time is coming when people, human beings, will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction. All right, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they already hold. So those who don't believe in what we believe, those who don't believe in what the Word of God says about the faith, the gospel, they already got their errors. They got their errors. Okay, they're holding on to their errors. So they're hearing truth. All right? They're hearing truth from us, but they want to hear what they already believe. All right? But it doesn't work that way. We've got to work at convincing them by the Spirit regarding what God believes. Because like I said before, the gospel, the Great Commission, which is part of discipleship, all right? Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's the Great Commission, right? So once we get them born again by the Spirit, then we got to disciple them by the Spirit, right? And this is the thing. We are surrounded by people that they will not tolerate the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They think they have the truth, all right? But they still need to hear it. And some will believe it, and some won't believe it. Is that what Jesus said? Those who believe, they will be saved. Those who don't believe, they will be damned. All right? But we got to make sure we do things by the Spirit. All right? And I teach a lot of that by through the five keys, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. That's all part of walking by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And look at the results he had, right? So that belongs to the church, right? That belongs to the church. That belongs to every member of the body of Christ. So I want to thank you for your time. I had quite a few people watching today. And I really want to thank you for your comments and all that. And we're going to be doing a lot more of these videos in the coming days and years. I'll be doing a lot more short videos. And this is all part of making contacts, whether it's in Asia, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in Europe, want to make contacts through technology and then building good relationships, okay? This is key to missionary enterprises, working with you guys. You guys want to work with us? You watch our videos. Okay, you post your comments on our posts. Comment on our posts when we post things, you know, concerning the doctrine. That's how you build relationship. That's why I put them up on there. That's why I put these videos, so we can build relationship. So then when I come to Pakistan, then I'll know where to go. I'll go to the people that have been following us through the technology on these social platforms. That's all important. This is all part of it. All right. If you're not interested in the videos that we make now, if you're not interested in the posts that we post, all right, why would I go to your church? Why? If you're not even showing any interest. If I'm not even showing, you're not even showing any interest in our videos, in our posts, in what we're posting, why would I bother? Why would I bother? Show some interest. And then I'm going to show some interest in you, right? And that's the way it works. So anyhow, just to finish here, like I always finish all my videos, walk in the fullness of the grace of God. Shalom and... Shalom and amen. Thank you very much for your time.